Ian Fitzsimmons here, and I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I was skeptical about ordering plants online. Like, this is actually going to show up alive at my house? But after my wife and I ordered from Fast Growing Trees, convinced. They have this thing down to a science. They've built a whole system to protect your plants until they arrive. They even have a lab where they test against cold, heat, humidity, you name it. Any condition, they've got it. And they thrive. We couldn't believe how good our plants looked when they arrived at our doorstep. And everything showed up exactly how we expected. A perfectly healthy plant that was easy to unbox and ready to go. Every order is backed by their Alive and Thrive guarantee. And you'll get ongoing support from real knowledgeable experts. They have unbelievable deals on spring planting essentials, and right now you can get an additional 20% off your first order with the code SPORTS at checkout. That's 20% off at fastgrowingtrees.com with the code SPORTS. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's fastgrowingtrees.com, code SPORTS.
This is what everyone's talking about.
Everything's on the table.
This is what champions come to take. This is what everyone came to see.
And the slam!
No do-overs. No second chances. No more Mr. Nice Guy. This is Winner Take All. And it's all happening now on the home of the NBA Finals. Don't miss it. June 3rd on ABC and the ESPN app.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey! Everybody,
can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So please, welcome the greatest performer ever to have graced this earth.
Rich Eisen.
We are back, baby.
We are back!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA insider Shams Charania. Coming up, ESPN NBA analyst Tim Legler. Your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Shams Charania in hour three, and so is O'Shea Jackson Jr. He's going to join us a little early so we can chomp up an NBA playoff with the diehard Laker fan and co-host of No Contest Wrestling with T.J. Jefferson. Booker T. is the guest today, if I'm not mistaken.
Can you dig it?
Okay. T.J., O'Shea, and Booker T. on NCW, which is part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, means you can get on our YouTube channel, Rich Eisen, at Rich Eisen Show on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you dig it?
I can, in fact, dig it.
Sucker!
Let's turn to our friend, fresh off of calling Game 1 with Mike Breen and Richard Jefferson on the ESPN family of networks from in Madison Square Garden last night. Last time I spoke with this guy, it was when I was doing SportsCenter in Bristol for the first time in 23 years, so it was only fitting that Tim Legler was part of that broadcast, and he joins us now. How are you, Tim? Good to see you.
Rich, great, man. I am great. I'm still trying to kind of process what we all watched last night, because I'm sitting there watching that game like everybody else. You know, you get into the early part of the fourth quarter, and it just did not look like there was any conceivable way the Knicks were going to be able to win that game based on the lack of rhythm of their offense to that point. So this thing flipped on its head in a very short period of time.
So what? How are you processing it? Walk me through your processing of what did in fact happen for that 44-11 run, Tim.
I think the main thing is this. Like, we've given the Knicks a lot of credit for the kind of changing their offense, and it really started middle of the Atlanta series. They're down 2-1. They decide, Mike Brown decides that they're going to have to figure out something to get their offense unlocked a little bit. They go to this Karl-Anthony Towns sort of as a hybrid playmaker, more at the elbows, top of the key, Brunson off ball a little bit more as an initial screener, creating problems for the defense. And their offense was historically efficient for a 7-game stretch. It was incredible what they were doing. Everybody on the roster was humming at the same time. You get into this game last night, Cavs prepared for that off-ball stuff. They weren't giving up a lot of the cuts that the Knicks were used to getting. They were taking it away. Cavs were on point with their communications, their switches. All that was good. Knicks were missing open threes, contributed to it. That's probably where the rust part came in. And you add that all up, Cavs in complete control. So what do the Knicks do? 8-minute mark or so of the fourth quarter, that offense that we've been praising so much kind of went to the side. And you know what they went with? Well, you know, let's go back to the early Brunson days as a Knick, where we just go high ball screen or ISO, let him get the matchup he wants and let him go to work and see if we can at least get the start of a run, because the arena was pretty quiet. They were waiting for this run to come that never did. Brunson single-handedly created the energy in the building. Yep. He cut the deficit in half by himself in about a 3-minute period. And then the decisions became much more difficult for the Cavs of what they were going to do with him going forward. The double started coming. Some 3-point shooting kicked in for the Knicks out of that. And here you go. At exactly the same time that was happening, the Cavs completely tightened up offensively, and they definitely were starting to become too aware of what was happening to them. They stopped playing aggressive offensive basketball. They were waiting for the clock to run out. In sports, if you play not to lose, bad things always happen to you. But in this case, Rich, both of those things had to happen at the same time, and they did in a 7.5-minute period of time for the Knicks to tie it, and then, of course, they dominate them in overtime.
And it's amazing, Tim, because as you pointed out, the narrative, for the lack of a better phrase, for the Knicks' first two series wins and how that's potentially more sustainable for a long-term run is based on the point centering of Karl Anthony Towns in the middle of their offense and how that led to some historic victories in terms of blowouts and things of that nature. And they went back to hero ball when they needed it. And Jalen Brunson put the cape on and bailed everyone out, is one way to put it. Or is this what we're going to see? Is this series in a nutshell, Tim? What do you think?
No, Rich, I think that you're going to see more of the offense that they've been running here over the last few weeks. I think so. But then now they know they have this card in their pocket. If they want to go there, particularly if the Cavs are going to allow him to pick who he wants to play against. And obviously, lots going to be made of James Harden today. He was the guy on that island. I don't blame James Harden for what happened at all. He's a guard, in his upper 30s. He was never really known in this league as a committed defender. He can play defense in certain matchups. He's much better against bigger, stronger guys that try to bully him because the guy's a brick wall. He can hold his ground. He can rake on you with his hands. But if you're asking him to play a guard that's shifty, that can change directions in the middle of the floor by himself, at no point in his career was that going to be a recipe for success. Certainly not at this stage of his career. I'm not blaming Harden. I'm blaming the Cavs for allowing that to happen to the extent that it did, for Brunson to be able to get that many one-on-ones. Now, look, you have to give Brunson credit for this, too, because the number of different types of shots he made during that stretch, a runner going down the left side of the lane off the wrong foot, a bank shot going down the right side of the lane that hit the top white stripe on the backboard, a floater to his left, a pull-up jumper to his right, a step-back three. That all happened in a row, and now the Cavs go, okay, let's start to run sort of these half-hearted double teams at him, which was the wrong approach, because when you do a half-hearted double team, the other three guys don't know exactly if you're fully committed to the trap. That tells us on the weak side, us three, the three of us, what are our rotations? We know who has first pass when that double team is clear. They were sort of half-hearting it, a guy coming like toward him, and now the other three guys were confused, so they weren't catching up to the first pass. And now Bridges hit a big one. Shamet hit a big one. Ananobi got a couple of drives. So at no point did they come up with anything constructive to slow this roll down. And I don't think that that's what the Knicks go to at the start of game two, but they know they've got that now if they want to force the Cavs' hand to see what they're going to do differently, because clearly it has to be a lot different if Brunson goes into that mode again where he gets what he wants in the middle of the floor.
All right, so I'll just put a fine point on it if you don't mind me putting you in this position, Tim Legler. Did Mike Brown outcoach Kenny Atkinson last night? Did that happen?
Well, I definitely think Kenny Atkinson had a rough night from a coaching standpoint. There's no question about it. Here's what Mike Brown, look, and I love both of these guys, respect the hell out of both of them.
Right.
Here's where Mike Brown, had an advantage. He had a button, big red button, that he could push. It was an obvious button.
And it said number 11 on it, button number 11, is that what you're saying?
Basically, it was as if you had a control board in front of you with a bunch of buttons, but all of the other ones had tape over them. So there's one button left to push, and it's, hey, I have one of the best offensive players in the league. Let's see if we dip our toe in the water here or what this will look like for them defensively. And he dipped his toe in the water, and it wasn't like, you know, Eddie Murphy on SNL, too hot for the hot tub. Actually, the hot tub felt very nice. It was actually a perfect temperature for the hot tub. And so Jalen Brunson jumped into that hot tub, and he swam around, and he had a great time in that hot tub. And by the time they tried to turn up the heat or turn it down or shut the hot tub off, now it was a full-fledged pool party. Now we had a pool party going on all over the place. That's my analogy that I came up with for what we saw there for that 8 minutes.
Well done, Sam. Just to remind you, I asked you about Mike Brown, not James Brown. But I still like the way that you went.
Good call.
Very good.
Tim Legler here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then I also mentioned at the beginning, Tim, you know, Knicks fans being excited, which is great. I'm one of them, okay? I just don't know if I'd be rushing out to 7th Avenue to start a We Want Wemby chant, which did, in fact, happen last night. What's your take from the game one in the Western Conference Finals of what he did under the circumstances in which he did it on the road, watched the trophy that he wanted being awarded to someone else, Tim?
The thing that stood out to me from the very beginning, after seeing initial tape on Victor Wembanyama, as we were starting to hear about his name and knowing he was coming to the league, and your first impressions on just how strange that looked to see a guy that big play the way he played, you're kind of processing that. But then the thing that really cemented it for me, where this guy is headed, when he started to do interviews, and he was not in any way deflecting or shying away from responsibility that he felt he had to live up to being what he wants to be, which is one of the greatest to ever do it, to lead team to championships, to win MVPs, to carry teammates to the extent that he can. He brought all of it and wanted all of it and talked about it overtly. And most guys that young coming into the league don't do that. Mm-hmm. And he did. And I knew that meant he was a little bit different. And you saw it, the desire in his eyes in this game and the intensity with which he played and just how much his team, the confidence level is built around that, the way that he is so certain. Because one thing, like, he might have off shooting nights. Very rarely does he not affect the game defensively, but he's going to have off shooting nights. He is. I mean, it still can be guarded at times because he's so tall and thin and guys can get into him and it can be hard some nights. But one thing that wasn't going to change was his approach and his intensity, his demeanor, and his aggressiveness to try to get it done. And role players and supporting cast can live with that, man. Just be the same guy. And some nights it's going to look great. Some nights you might have off nights, but it always looks the same in terms of your demeanor. Now guys can get on board with that, and the confidence level soars for this team. And on the nights he does it on both ends, it looks like that, which is the best player in the world. Now, it doesn't look like that every night offensively, which is why he didn't just win the MVP. They're coming for him sooner than later. But when it all adds up on the same night, Rich, it's a level of impact that no one else in this league has right now.
I'm with you, Tim. And I was talking at the top about how we heard as he's coming into the league about his ball handling and his 3-point shooting for a man his size is uncanny, if not unprecedented. And his defensive play was something that everyone's wondering, can he win defensive player of the year as a rookie? That was the conversation with him coming
right.
in, right?
Right.
And the thing we didn't discuss or didn't maybe know was what burns inside, what you just said. For him to sit there and takes the profession personally in a way, mm-hmm. like not like game 35 for him is as important as a game 5 in the playoffs. And the way that he plays and the way that he leads in that respect and the way that it burns him to watch SGA win it. And then he comes up with a 40-20 and cuts everyone's hearts out in Oklahoma City and shows it to him pumping. I said it reminds me of Jordan, Tim. And I'm, you know, I understand when I invoke that of a player that young, that may be heresy, but you just said it. Like, you just described Jordan to me, Kobe. You just described Tiger Woods early in his like an uncanny burning desire for somebody that young. That's what it reminds me of. What do you think?
Incredibly rare, because number one, you're that young. You're emotionally not mature enough to even be able to deal with the scrutiny that comes with being that hyped, selected with that pick. You're not emotionally mature enough to handle it. You certainly aren't physically enough mature enough to handle it. To never at any point shy away or deflect or give you the answers of like, hey, you know, I hope so. I'm just going to do the best I can to be the best I can be, and I hope it works out. He didn't do any of that stuff. He basically said, it's my responsibility. I've been given this. It's my responsibility. And I love it. I cherish it. I revel in that. Mm-hmm. And it's almost unfair to think that the Spurs ended up with another one of these guys after the run they had with the Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, like that long ass run they had with those guys. And now they seem like they're on the cusp. And by the way, their first round pick this year also has that. Dylan Harper is going to be a superstar in this league. He is going to be a first team all NBA player sooner than later. He's going to be a guy, I think, that's an MVP consideration down the road. Now, I don't know what his career arc looks like. You never know with these guys. Does he change teams, you know, 5 years? I don't know where he's going to be, but I do know this. I haven't seen a guard, 19, that was a one-and-done guard, come into this league with this level of power ever. And his ability to play through contact with his shoulders, his forearms, the way he can just take you anywhere on the court that he wants. And clearly also another guy that loves the moment, loves the light. They got two of those guys. And they also have the rookie of the year in Stephon Castle, who's also built like that. It's incredible the good fortune that this organization has and what's about to hit this league for a long time to come. Now, does it happen this year? I don't know. Anybody thinks Oklahoma City can't still win this series is nuts. They're going to have a great response in game two. And by the way, they took double overtime to beat them in game one.
Right.
And their best two players shot 37% on 48 shot attempts. So Shea will be better. Jalen Williams will be better. Chet, to me, top of the list, has got to inject himself. You cannot just accept this. And I think you're going to see Chet Holmgren. I think the way he does it is by looking for his perimeter shot more. Three-point shot will be there for him as much as he wants. Maybe he has to take 10 of those. Maybe he hits four in the first half. Inject yourself into this. So there's a lot more for Oklahoma City to bring. I expect that. And I don't know how this series is going to go, who's going to win it. And I don't know if it happens this year for the Spurs, but it's coming. It's coming, obviously. Yeah. We've been put on notice. No. They got these picks right,
yep.
And all of these guys want it badly.
And I hear you about Chet Holmgren having to play better, and obviously he can, and the expectation is that he will, unless Victor Wembanyama makes it personal with him, which it appears he will, because he does. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's, yeah. Again, I noticed that you didn't, you know, directly address my Jordan analogy, which is fine if you don't agree with it, but I mean, you've known, you're around the guy, very much so. It's rare to see it, right? He takes it personally. And part of me just wonders if Popovich is the one stoking it too. Because
oh yeah, for sure. I would be shocked if that wasn't the case.
Right?
I would be shocked if that wasn't the case. Look, he's also got one of the really unique things about San Antonio as a small market team is, and we've talked about it on the air, and a lot of people may know this, some may not, a lot of their former stars stay in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unusual for a small market city for that to happen. These guys usually hit one of the two coasts, and that's where they go for their waning years, and they make a couple appearances a year at the arena. Take a look at these games, man. You see Duncan's there sitting next to David Robinson. I mean, these guys are like hashing it out. Sean Elliott's in the building every night because he works for the organization, but he'd stay there anyway. Ginobili's there all the time. So my point is, you don't think that those guys also have been like right. In the ear of Victor Wembanyama from the beginning? Like when you feel like you've come into an organization that's going to protect you, it's a security blanket, the way they run things. And so you don't feel like you're ever overwhelmed. This isn't about you. That's what they do to protect you. Even though you act like you want it, you say you want it, and he clearly indicates that he does. There's also a built-in security blanket by having that level around you to tell you, how to go about it, how to navigate it, and to challenge you in ways that maybe a lot of places you don't get challenged because those guys aren't around. And certainly if they are, didn't have that level of success. That matters to a guy like Victor Wembanyama, who soaks it all in. He's hearing it from everywhere, but it starts with what he's telling himself between the ears. This guy is wired in a way that leads to all-time greatness if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm with
you. And he wants all of it.
I think he does. And you've seen his performances since Popovich met him coming off the plane after getting ejected from the game, right? I mean, like this moment here, I would love to have been a fly in a tarmac there, man. Just like, what was he saying to him? And then Wemby just has just crushed everybody since this moment.
Yeah. You know? And you know what I would guess, and I'm probably maybe dead wrong, and I've known Pop a long time too. I love the guy, but it would almost feel like there would be a little, obviously a lot of this. You're too important to get caught up and be over emotional and cost your team where you get ejected from a game. You're too important. You got to control yourself. And at the same time, give him a little bit of sprinkle of, same time, Victor, I didn't mind you clocking somebody with an elbow. Like, that's not the worst thing in the world to know that there's that component to you as well. So he probably got a little bit of both, very paternal in his approach. In some ways, obviously, you know, scolding him a little bit and making him aware of the responsibility that you carry when you are that guy, that you need to be on the floor at the end of games to decide matters. And you can't, because of an emotional reaction, take yourself off the floor because your teammates are the guys you're most accountable to. That's kind of what I feel like that speech probably sounded like.
Yeah, and I appreciate that insight because I'm going to keep hunting and pecking for that answer until I get it or until the Spurs are eliminated, if at all. You know what I mean? Because it's just a fascinating storyline of these playoffs, including obviously Oklahoma City going for a back-to-back championship run, and then you've got a Knicks fan base that's saying we want Wemby after one game in the Eastern Conference Finals that looked like it wasn't going to go their way until a historic run. And then you got the Cavs. Harden's on that griddle today. Atkinson's on that griddle today. Donovan Mitchell's on that griddle. And now we've got game two with you and the crew at the mic. I can't wait for it, Tim. It's fun. It's fun stuff.
Appreciate it, Rich. Thanks for having me on, man. Yeah, I was blessed to be sitting in that spot last night. That's not even working, man. That's just enjoying the sport that I've made my life out of, that I love more than anything other than my family. And being able to sit there next to Mike Breen and RJ and do that last night was special.
And did we pick up what we were talking about here before? Was that a half a bang? Was that a buh on the Sam Merrill three that went in and out? Was it a buh? You know, do we get a buh from Mike Breen?
I didn't pick up on the buh. I think Mike maybe was going to go there. And look, you know, that's obviously we all know that he calls Knicks games. He loves the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And he's about to give a big bang to a shot that's going to cost you a game. And that has to be something that could have been tough to get out. But, you know, he's the ultimate professional. He would have done it. And by the way, that basketball was more than halfway in
really?
That, yeah, in that
it
rim,
was
man.
Down.
And it had a weird, you know what's weird? It had a slight, for a pure shooter, it had the slightest sideways rotation, just a little. Mm. That meant when it hit inside the rim, it spun and kicked out. If that's 100% pure coming off when the seams are rotating directly backwards to you as a shooter, that ball's going in. That's the difference between a win and a loss last night. Yeah. And it's incredible that ball didn't go in. And obviously the Knicks took advantage.
Yeah. You mean it didn't hit the heel and bounce up, scrape Messier's jersey, and then come right back down through it. So and seriously, the difference between the game one Eastern Conference final starts for the Knicks last 2 years, obviously it's stark. And I can't wait to see the drama play out. Tim, look for more of my texts to join us after these games and certainly
anytime,
the finals
Rich,
as well.
You got it.
Really appreciate it. That's Tim Legler, everybody. From good people at ESPN and our friends in the family of Disney Networks.
He knows something about shooting threes, too. So
I know he does. That is for sure. And that was just an epic game one.
Yeah.
Wemby. I'm telling you, Wemby, he didn't agree with my Jordan thing. So I was fishing for it.
I think it's just because Jordan is on such a level that it's hard to get people.
But it's got echoes similar.
But Rich, let me tell you something. Five seasons from now.
Five seasons. It could be five games.
It could be five games. But I'm just saying, like 5 years from now, I think that there's going to be a whole nother story being written. And this guy's going to be the
main character. This guy's going to come into Madison Square Garden and tell the Knicks fans, I heard what you said in game after game one. I heard it. You got Frederick Weiss. They've got me. Talk about the French pastry
that
you had.
Frederick Weiss.
Yeah. A SoFi personal loan is here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk the tightrope of your finances with one low, fixed-rate monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. You can pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Hour 3's got Shams Charania and O'Shea Jackson Jr. in person in it. Your calls at 844-204-RICH coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your vehicle's check engine ABS or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
Our radio audience has returned. We're back, one big happy streaming and listening family, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tim Legler, that was a good chat with him right there.
Legs.
Didn't expect an Eddie Murphy Saturday Night.
No,
Live.
I didn't expect
James
that.
Brown.
Not Mike Brown. He went James Brown.
Yeah.
The hot tub.
Too hot in the hot tub. Good God.
Look at you.
I used to have the best Eddie Murphy VHS tape back in the day, and I played that thing to the tape pop.
My God, we're just going down memory lane here.
A VHS, that's a window into how old he is.
Yeah, everyone had a VHS in this room, Chris.
No, not true.
You never had
20 kids over here who have no idea what VHS is.
I'm counting the people on the camera right now, so don't act like you're so young that you don't remember a VCR.
They're off camera, but show of hands, anybody that currently has a VHS machine?
Yeah, they make retro ones.
A VHS machine with a tape?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
They have retro VHS.
I mean, that's, I didn't expect that one.
Two out of 20.
I just was on
eBay. That was an O. Henry-like twist right there.
I was just on eBay the other day looking to buy one.
Okay, for what?
Just to have it.
For what?
Yeah, I have one, too.
I want to have
a ping pong table that you have not unboxed from winning it on The Price is Right 5 years ago.
Okay, but I can't play ping pong by myself. I could watch the best Eddie Murphy Raw on a VHS tape by myself.
Or you could I have a Blu-ray VHS recorder, so I can play. That's how I record.
You got a Blu-ray recorder?
Yes, to my VHS.
Mike, what were the big ones called?
The 3/4-inch one?
Or like Betamax?
No.
They looked like CDs. Now I remember.
Oh, Laserdisc.
Laser disc.
Yes. I still have those, too.
You had to be rich to have a Laserdisc.
House and watch Gremlins on Laserdisc, everybody.
Only the rich.
Not weird at all.
Only the rich kids in my city had Laserdisc.
Never give a Mogwai any water or light.
After midnight.
No fear. No I learned that on my Laserdisc.
Don't let it all hang out.
All right. Thomas in San Diego, California.
Thomas.
San Diego.
Thomas. The Wells.
Be careful.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Thomas?
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Rich. Hey, I just want to say, if I may, I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, ever since you launched NFL Network. NFL Total Access was always on my TV, man. Big fan of your work. And what you do
that.
For the kids out there is a beautiful thing, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, Thomas. Are you driving around beautiful San Diego, California, wanting to play the win-loss game for the Chargers? Is that a true story?
Yes, sir. My San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles. Let's do it.
Okay.
San Diego Chargers.
Thomas, show us your lightning bolts.
React to me.
Our neighbors across the way here in El Segundo, California now. We'll be starting the season at home against the Arizona Cardinals. What happens?
That's a win, my friend.
1-0, Raiders at Chargers.
Another win.
Oh, my goodness. They start off with such easy games. It's like the Kansas City Chiefs. Only team. Uh-huh. Chargers at Bills. What happens next?
Make fun all you want, man.
Chargers at Bills.
I think it's tough to start 3-0. I'll give that one a loss.
2-1 at the Seahawks.
Man, that's a tough defense. I'm gonna have to go another loss.
All right, that's now 2-2 with the Broncos coming to their house.
At home for the Chargers?
Yes, sir.
That's a win.
3-2 at the Chiefs.
At the Chiefs. I'll give that one to the Chiefs.
3-3 coming home, taking on the Rams. Chargers and Rams in SoFi. This is a tough schedule, isn't it?
You know, I'm gonna give them the dub in the regular season, but I think we're gonna see them in the Super Bowl and win that game.
All right. Wow.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
The rest of the regular season to go here. 4-3 home for the Texans.
That's a win.
5-3 at the Ravens on a Monday night.
It's going to be a tough game, but I think we have Jesse Minter's number, and we'll be able to exploit his defense. That's a win.
All right. Is it Jim going to avenge firing John? Is that what it's going to be right there? But he's taking on his former defensive coordinator on a Monday night right there. Jets at Chargers.
I know you're a Jets fan. My dad was a diehard Jets fan. Rest in peace, but we're going to kill the Jets.
7-3. Patriots at Chargers on NBC.
I hate the Patriots more than any team in the entire world, so I can never cheer for them to win. So that's a win.
Okay, 8-3 at the Bucks.
That's another win.
9-3 at the Raiders.
The Raiders.
You know, we're sweeping the Raiders. That's a win.
10-3, home for the Niners on Thursday Night Football.
I think that's a trap game. I'll give them a loss for that
10-4
one.
10-4 at the Dolphins.
Easy win.
Oh. Easy. 11-4, home for the Chiefs.
Now that's where we split. We'll take that one.
12-4 at the Broncos. Big sign.
I hate to say it, but I expect a split with the Broncos, too.
Big sign and L. Big sign and L for 12-5.
That wins the West.
Thank you, Thomas. I don't know about that, pal. No. Thomas in San Diego. Thanks for the call.
Wait,
sir.
You don't think 12-5 wins the West?
I could win the West.
There's no maybe. Yes or no?
I don't. I think 13 wins might win it.
13.
That's how damn good this division is.
Well, if they're all going to be good, all going to win 13 games.
I just think it's going to, I don't know. 12-5 might not win it. Certainly if the tie breaks don't go their way. I don't know. The Chiefs might win 13 with that easy schedule.
It's true.
Again.
Cupcake.
Just keep misconstruing my words. You sat right next to me on the set when I said they're going to have an easy first month of the season.
Correct.
And they do.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's because why? Because Roger Goodell's a big Taylor Swift fan.
Well,
tell me more.
Mahomes coming back from injury, they need to ensure that they're good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that. Kids take notes.
I don't think Mike North would appreciate that.
Al in Dallas.
Oh.
What's up, Al? You there, Al?
How are you? What I mean, the moment that we experienced last night was the sickest thing I've seen since Reggie Miller. I mean, there was no way they could have won that game.
Talking about the Knicks. Talking about the Knicks?
Yes.
Okay, you're Knickerbockers.
I'm not talking about the Mets. Talking about the Knicks, it's unbelievable that happened, and I didn't turn it off, Rich. I just sat there, and you know, I even telling some of the boys, like, with 8 minutes, you know, with a minute and a half to go, they're down by eight. I'm like, they're still gonna lose this game, and I'm shocked that last second hoop didn't go in. I mean, I've experienced more disappointment than you have, Richard, because you're a Yankee fan, and my whole sports life has been a lot of disappointments, but I cannot believe that they won that game. I can't.
Who is the athlete, the New York athlete, that's given you most joy? Is it Eli Manning, Al? Is it? Who is it?
Eli Manning. Mark Messier.
Messier?
Oh, Mess.
Yeah. Messier, I mean, only did younger. It once. Eli did it twice.
Yeah, but that once was, I mean, I already had two in the bag when Eli won. You know what I'm saying? Like, I already experienced, you know, the Phil Simms and the Hofstetler.
But, right.
So Eli, you know, I'm not downgrading. He's top five, but Messier, you know, I mean, Richard, you remember that 1994. I mean, it was, and the Knicks, that was the greatest, unbelievable summer, you know, mixing OJ, unfortunately. Right.
So it goes Messier, Eli, Howard Johnson, or is that where you put Backman, Wally Backman? Where do you put him, Al?
Oh boy, Richard, you're really fired.
Get out. You put the whole 86 Mets in there, Al. Okay. They're just one player.
Just one player?
Danny Heap, maybe.
Danny Heap has been called.
God. Tim Tuffle.
Look at him.
Richard, let me just throw one other thing out. I've been calling this show for a very, very long time.
11 years?
I've said it countless times. You know, you've been very, very gracious to me, and you were very gracious to my family when we come to events. And my son, Jack, is graduating high school today, Richard.
Hey!
You remember, I got great pictures of you with him at the Houston Super Bowl event when he was a young child, and it's just an unbelievable. And I know you're about to experience the same thing right now, but it's an unbelievable experience. So, you know, you guys have been, you've been a part of me since I've been down here in Texas. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, but for me not to say, would be remiss not to mention.
Now, congratulations. Enjoy that day. Awesome. And send our best to the graduate. There goes Alan Dallas, everybody.
All right, Al.
All right. Let's take a break. Joe Burrow has spoken.
Joe Burrow.
He's spoken for the first time, I think, since the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What does he think about the roster build in Cincinnati? That's next. Oh, and our golf outing. We got to talk about our golf weekends coming up next. That'll be fun.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here. You ever notice what happens when something big rolls into your city? A major tournament, a can't-miss concert, a high-stakes playoff game. Suddenly, fans are everywhere. Feels like everyone's trying to get in. Streets are packed. Hotels book up fast. And finding a place to stay? Not so easy. That's exactly why this can be a smart moment to think about your own space. If you're planning to be away, you can list your space on Airbnb while all of that's going on and earn some extra cash at the same time. You're not changing your routine. You're just making the most of the moment. From my years on the road, I can tell you what people are looking for during these big events. A comfortable home base. Something that feels like their own space in the middle of all the action. And when options are limited, places like yours could really stand out. So if you've ever thought about listing your space, this is a great time to give it a shot. When your city is at its busiest, your home could be exactly what someone is looking for. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one, that helps your business grow. The challenge is finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Ask any Bengals fan what makes them nervous, other than their owner being in charge. The answer is, how happy is Joe Burrow being with us?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. At some point, is he going to wake up one day, look in the mirror and go, I don't want to be here anymore? pull a, something out of the Carson Palmer playbook.
I hate this team.
Well, that's the Jet fan.
Well, I know. I mean, you might say that.
Yeah, I don't know. They're still paying him.
Joe Burrow. Kid from Athens, Ohio, who for some reason, I say this to him all the time, why do you like Ohio State most so much still? You had to go to LSU.
He really likes Ohio
State.
But he,
State, like, he, and Ohio State fans are like, he's one of ours. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah. The coach he won it with sounds like the water boy.
I'm more a Dodger fan.
All right. At any rate, I don't mean to go down that road.
Well, you got a bunch of people here who hate Ohio State.
That's true. Yeah, I do have two dozen Michigan Wolverines.
My bad. The Ohio State. No disrespect.
No, no, don't.
I can't.
Disrespect yeah, all you want. I don't care.
Disrespect away.
At any rate, Joe Burrow meeting with the media today.
Okay.
Asked about did he need a reset? You know, hit the reset button after last year's injury-marred disappointing campaign.
So I'm not sure I would say I needed to reset. You know, I didn't play a ton of games. So when the season ended, I was still ready to go. So kind of jump right back into training, travel a little bit. But I was ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. He's not going to give you anything, is he?
No.
What about the Bengals reset? No. What about them? What about what they've done? What about Sexy Dexy coming right there in the middle of that defensive line, even though Trey Hendrickson is now a Raven? A lot of these moves made for making sure Joe's 30 points a game stands up, or that he stands up upright.
I just think we know where we needed to be better, and we went out and aggressively made it happen. You know, we filled some holes that we had from years past. Got better at a lot of positions. Signed the best free agent safety. Got the best D tackle in the league, in my opinion. So we have everything we need in that locker room. We just got to go and make it happen.
Did you have a mandate to the front office about what you wanted to happen this offseason?
No, I would say, you know, we had a lot of communication during free agency. You know, we didn't have our postseason meeting like we typically have. So you know, I would say, if anything, I was less involved this year than years past. You know, there's no secret that the last several years didn't go the way we wanted to, and there's a lot of blame to go around for that, myself included.
Do you think what you see right now from this organization and in that locker room is a Super Bowl roster?
I think this is the most talented roster that we've had since I've been here.
Okay.
That is
absolutely not him staring into the abyss and wondering about the future. And
yeah,
there was a lot of
that last year.
There was a lot of, for somebody who picks and chooses his words as carefully as he clearly does, he did leave some gray area. You know, one might call it scarlet and gray hair.
Look at you.
Right. And that right there, like the moves that we made, we got the best in safety. We got the best in D tackle. We got the roster as talented as we've ever had. Okay, Zach Taylor, make it work.
Okay, Joe, stay healthy.
Well, I mean, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it is a bummer, but right. All of a sudden you get labeled, you know, kind of an injury guy, and suddenly this Hall of Fame, top five player in the league, it's not so much anymore.
Oh my God, are you going into the quarterback under pressure? Is that where we're going here?
No.
Because that guy doesn't look like he feels an ounce of pressure.
That guy's been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That guy.
He was close to winning it.
That guy, I think.
Unlike some other players in this league who get a little bit more pub than he does.
Let me ask you this question. Because this is like a theme. Like if this was a Sesame Street, it's brought to you by the number and the letter. Okay?
Nine.
No, I didn't actually mean to you to start naming numbers.
He wears
got it.
Yeah,
got
it. QB nine. Okay.
A theme is the athlete that has that burning desire that is uncanny and is different than others. He's one of them in the NFL, wouldn't you say? He's one of them. He doesn't show it except for whatever the heck was happening last year. And every information man and woman that come on the show, and they're like, he's just so frustrated about his health. And we're like,
I get
is that where the frustration lies?
Yeah, maybe. I get that, though.
Frustration's not lying from the coaching, not lying from the front office. That was the conversation. You know?
And it's three healthy, fully healthy seasons, right?
It's unbelievable.
They go to the Super Bowl, 4,600 yards, 34 touchdowns, 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns, 4,900 yards, 43 touchdowns.
Man, I wish we had a Bengals win-loss phone call to just jump into right now, because I'm taking a look at the roster, right? Chase Brown is really friggin' good.
He is.
As you see the schedule, home for Tampa, at Houston, at Pittsburgh, home for Jacksonville, much tougher than Kansas City's first four. Joe Burrow at quarterback, Chase Brown at running back, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. I mean, come on now, right? Gesicki at tight end, the offensive line, let's protect.
That's a good
schedule. Let's protect. Boye Mafe, he's on this team with Dexter Lawrence, Jonathan Allen up front. Let's see if Ja'Marr Stewart's going to do anything. That back end, you're talking about the safeties, right? And then manning the corner, the irony. It's two Michigan men, Dax Hill and DJ Turner. Let's go. They're healthy. That's as good a roster as anybody in the AFC North, wouldn't you say?
I kind of like them to win the division.
Look at you now.
Ooh. Ooh.
I think they're better than the Ravens.
I don't.
I don't sleep on them, pal.
Who is their number one receiver?
Who's say Flowers?
Who's been their number one receiver?
Oh, no, it's say Flowers.
Like every year.
I get it. No, I know what you're saying.
They're not as good as Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins.
I don't think anybody is, with all due respect to CD and George Pickens. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I mean,
is that in the neighborhood?
We're on a different
level. A.J. Brown, if he stays in Philadelphia with Devontae Smith, right?
I mean, I know he's unstoppable, but another year older for Derrick Henry.
Okay. Don't forget the right.
Offensive
don't
line.
Don't forget the right guard.
Offensive line, not as good.
Don't forget about Venga Ioane. The only guy right on the table for my guy from Penn State.
Wasser Center. Very important.
No, that's true, too.
I think the Bengals should be favored here.
Okay, everybody. And Joe, right? He's not talking existential.
If the roster wasn't as talented, I think he would delicately say as much.
Right, right. Because he can.
Right.
Right. That sounded like a guy who's ready to go.
Who's believing.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
How come, you don't have to play the soundbite, just pop it up on the screen. How come the NFL players
don't grab the mic?
Correct. Just pop it up on the screen, just to Burrow. You could just don't even have to hit play on
it.
He's sitting at the podium.
Very relaxed.
Yeah. They sit back and the microphone's on a stand. Yeah, the NBA players, they grab it.
It's like
Wembanyama grabbed it. The microphone. Well, like, the microphone looked like a toothpick.
One of those mini.
Yeah, well, when you're being interviewed on for Instagram, those little mics. That's what Wembanyama holds it.
USB mics.
NFL never players don't grab the mic. Why do NBA players grab the mic? Are there no mic stands in the NBA? Is that what it is?
They like
that's always been an NBA thing.
It always has been.
Maybe they're more. You know,
I like it.
I like to hold the mic a little bit.
You prefer not to have it on a stand?
Yeah. I have one. Now that after I said it, I had to think about it.
How odd would it be if that's how I start my Shams interview in hour three? That's coming
up. Why do they hold the mics?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.